Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian, and I am blessed and dope, and also a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with you. I'm joined today by two guys that are absolutely stunned that I took their catchphrases, Joey and Colby. Guys, what's up?
I'm never stunned by anything that you do. But my life is dope, and I do dope things.
There we go. Joey, what's up, bro?
I'm blessed. I got to say it anyway.
He's got to say it anyway. Hey, whether somebody else steals it or not, God's big enough to bring the blessings around, right, bro? That's it. So, guys, today we are in our series currently about ministry stress points. And you know, stress in ministry can put a big black spot on your entire ministry from time to time. And it can be something that we all wrestle with from time to time in ministry. And by the way, can I go ahead and interpret that phrase from time to time? All the time. Stress comes with ministry because we're leading people, right? Like, and so guys, I just want you to share with me your most stressful thing that's going on this week with you. No, I'm just teasing because we know we have
Easter. It's Easter season.
It's Easter season. Yeah. So as we've been talking about this in our last episode, we talked about ministry stress points on your marriage. Ministry can sometimes really negatively impact your marriage. And if you haven't listened to that, go back and check that out. That was episode 69. And today is episode 70, where we are talking about personal financial stress that comes along with small church ministry. And so we're talking about this idea here. Don't go broke doing ministry. Have you guys ever gone broke doing ministry before?
I could have used this podcast about 20 years ago. It would have been really helpful. So y'all are putting this out way too late for me. So
what we're doing now is we have your experience and your life experience to speak into it now.
Well, we kind of tongue in cheek go, I'm just listening to this. I'm here to learn on this one. Literally, I need to be here just to learn because I have done a lot wrong with my finances.
Yeah.
I got stacks, man. I get right.
Joey, stacks mean a lot of money.
A lot of
stacks
money. Of sorry. Cash. Sorry. That's what yeah, the, I should have, I should have remembered the significantly older guy wouldn't know. No, that's not true at all. But I can remember a time when, you know, I was trying to help everybody. And I had a guy come up to the church and say, hey, can I get a couple bucks for gas? And I'm like, well, I'll take you down to the gas station. It's just a block down the road. I'll take you down to the gas station. So I went down to the gas station with him, and I put my card in the pump and stuck it in the gas tank and pulled the trigger back. And I started talking to him about Jesus, and he just keeps looking over at the pump, and I keep talking, right? And so then it clicks, and you know you went pretty high on the money, and thankfully gas prices weren't what they are now, but they were actually pretty high back then. And I put $50 of gas in his tank, and he goes, Pastor, were you planning on putting $50 in my tank? And I was like, we'll call that a blessing. I started talking about Jesus and got distracted on what I was doing there.
But doggone it, you better get saved right now. We're having an altar call right this minute.
But then you got to explain it to the wife why you're 50 bucks short on the budget and all that stuff. So you can try to do great things, but you can go broke doing it.
Absolutely right.
If you're not smart about it.
You know, one of the things for all of us as small church leaders is we all have a heart to help people. I think that's one of the things that is a great blessing from God. He's given us all hearts that want to help people. And also, in our current scenario, we've got a lot of heart and not a lot of budget. And so sometimes, man, you go broke doing ministry because the kids' ministry needs something. So what do? It comes out of your personal finance. That's stuff that my wife and I, we still to this day do that. And we're trying to keep a good budget on it and a good handle on it so that we don't go overboard by doing that. Because at the end of the day, as a small church leader, especially those of you that are small church pastors, you have a family as well. You have a budget personally for your life that you've got to take care of. And one of the biggest mistakes we can do is going, well, God will take care of it. If I take care of God's stuff, God will take care of my stuff. Maybe the way God wants to take care of your stuff is through living by a budget. And I'm sorry that I just said a cuss word to all of us, myself included there, but that's why we're here sharing this conversation here. So the reality is stress is there from finances. So don't ignore it. Explore it. Joey? I thought I just heard you breathe in like you were about to say something.
You
he
did.
He just took a breath.
I took his breath away with my wisdom.
That curse word of budget that you said there, it so offended me that.
So you were taking a deep breath to get more power to throw the microphone at me.
Yes.
Okay, I see. Yeah, like it really, it sucks living on a budget because there's that part of us where we're like, man, just God's going to take care of it. And God does take care of things. There are, man, so many times, man, where God just shows up unexpectedly. Somebody blesses you financially. Like, he does that. But we don't need to, that doesn't need to be our budget, hoping that God inspires somebody to send us a $50 gift card here or there. Like, that should be the cherry on top of the budget Sunday that God is doing in our lives. And so the thing that we want to encourage you to do, small church leaders, is don't ignore it, explore it. And that's just good advice for anything. That's good advice for health stuff. That's good advice for, man, your tension in your marriage, tension with your parenting, with things that are going wrong with your church or ministry. Don't ignore it, explore it, because you will find answers when you explore it. So here's just the reality, though. Giving is always down. How many of you guys, don't raise your hand, Small Church Leadership Nation, have griped about COVID? Like, people aren't coming back in the building, and the ones that do come back into the building aren't giving, right? It's like, man, well, giving's just down, and attendance is just down. Well, giving and attendance were down before. That's why this is called the Small Church Leadership Podcast, right? Like, I forget the particular statistic, and it doesn't matter, because 83% of statistics are made up on the spot, right, Colby?
63% of the time.
63% of the time. They work every time. But there is a statistic that's really crazy about, like, how low the numbers of people that are actually giving in the church are on a regular basis. That's pre-pandemic numbers. So we know, like, giving is always down. So we can't use that as an excuse for us to be flippant with our finances. So this one thing that we're trying to encourage you to with Explore It, Don't Ignore It, is this. You can either complain about it or you can do something about it.
Why do you keep cussing at me?
I was going to say, you know what? The rest of this podcast is going to be spent complaining.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I would much rather. It's easier to complain about it, right? Yeah. And here's for me, and I'm just confession time. When I complain about what people aren't doing, then that means I take the spotlight off of me and what I'm not doing,
yeah.
Right? Like, I can complain about people not giving, people not attending, money not being there, and that takes the spotlight off of me. Well, I should probably start living beneath my means a little bit. I should possibly look for a second job. I should possibly budget this. I should possibly stop spending money buying other guns, Joey.
He's gone from preaching to meddling.
He's gone personal with this thing now. Yes.
Miss Erin has asked me to say that to you at every juncture I can in this. No, I'm just teasing. But, like, really, complaining is easy because it takes the spotlight off of what we're doing or what we're not doing.
Yeah. We just had a sermon series through Philippians and had a guest pastor come in, and he was preaching on Philippians 2 about stop complaining, and he just stood in front of the congregation and yelled, stop it! Stop it! And so now every time I see the word complain, it's like, nope, gotta stop it. I can't complain.
Yeah.
I gotta figure it out. I gotta get through it and work through it and investigate it, explore it, talk with my people about it. And, our giving here, and it's really, really weird, our giving here at First Friends, didn't go down. It stayed the same. And it just told me that the people that didn't come back, they weren't invested in it anyway. A lot of pastors out there may be looking at that and thinking, man, our numbers are low. But look at that giving and see, is your giving gone down? Because if your giving hasn't gone down, then you've got the people in your building that are committed to the church. And so embrace that. But you got to explore those things. You can't just look at butts in seats and then just throw it all out. You got to explore it.
And did the giving, if your giving did go down, did it go down in portion to the people who left? It didn't come back.
Yeah. So
if you lost 50%, but you didn't lose 50% of your giving.
That tells you a lot there. Yeah. And see, here's the thing. This is all about the explore it, don't ignore it.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to attack an enemy you can't see. And when it comes to financial stress points, we just have to, we can't be an ostrich, you know, and put our head in the sand. We have to be able to own up to what's going on and look at it. You know, guys, we read that book together a few years ago, Extreme Ownership, right, where there are no bad teams, only bad leaders, and I have to take ownership of that. We were just in a training where they were like, man, you know, 5 years, if you've been there for 5 years, you need to look in the mirror because you're the problem, not anybody else. And I'm like, ugh. Instead of me holding Joey back, Joey had to hold me back on that one. But what we've got to do is we've got to take ownership. We've got to explore it. Now, lest we get so caught up in fixing the church problem, where I want to bring us back to the reality that this is dealing with our personal finances. Now, the church does factor into that if you're getting a salary from the church. And that's what we want to talk about today for the full-time people who their full-time salary depends on the church, and also the part-time, you bivocational pastors, because this affects you as well, right? Like if you're making $70 a week and giving's down and they cut you from $70 to, you know, $35 a week, that's still going to impact you if you're depending on that money. And I'm thinking right now in my head of that scene from Christmas Vacation. Maybe you're anticipating a budget where you can put in a pool and you're getting the jelly of the month club. You need to pay attention and explore that tension. Okay. So here's just a question, guys. What do we do if we're having personal financial stress, and we'll talk about ministry stress with that financially? What do we do?
I think that you have to have the honest conversation with all parties involved, to include yourself. You know, if your income's got cut, you've got to probably tell Jeff Bezos you got to back off a little bit.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, telling me that I can't keep ordering stuff from Amazon if my budget is going down?
If you've got to reduce your income, Jeff Bezos is probably not going to be able to buy another yacht.
Wait a minute. So does that mean I might have to cut my Netflix off too?
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Why? I don't want to hear that. Do you know how much I've sacrificed?
But you got to have those honest conversations with people, with all the parties involved. Well, and it may be an honest conversation with the church, and we'll talk about, you know, how you maybe we need to look at other ways to gain the income. And you got to have that conversation with your church. You got to have that conversation with your spouse. You got to have that conversation with yourself. Now I need to pack my lunches instead of eating out every day. Now I got to, you know, make my own pot of coffee instead of going into $6 every day to get a cup of coffee. And so you just gotta, you've gotta have that honest conversation. And it has to be an honest conversation. Don't say, well, honey, we're going to cut your spending money down in the groceries. And you're going to cut your spending money down on your clothing, but yet I'm still going to be ordering from Amazon every week or every day or four times a day. And I'm still going to go to get my coffee, and I'm still going to go do these things. You have to have that honest conversation with yourself and all parties involved.
Yeah, so honest conversations are definitely important to have there. And it's all about explore it, don't ignore it. Joey, you got something to jump in with?
Yeah, I've run into those churches that believe, Lord, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. And they think that's a spiritual duty of the church to keep the pastor poor.
Yeah, I've heard people say before that pastors are supposed to live in poverty. And I always, like, the thing that's always funny to me with that is, like, people wouldn't consider that we live in poverty with how much money we make, which is not a lot, but we live in the at the poverty line for America. So I'm like, okay, when you say poverty, you think I should make less money than I currently make, but literally I'm in poverty right now. Like, come on, man. Like, what about Christians? Let's just throw that back on you. Shouldn't Christians live in poverty and not just pastors? Oh, that's a different story as you're going to your third vehicle that you're living in, or you're not living in, but driving. If you're living in it, probably because you do have three vehicles. Anyway, and this isn't a bitter conversation. This isn't a black coffee conversation that's bitter that we have to tell everybody we drink it.
It's not bitter. It's good.
So definitely we've got under letter A here for what you do is to take a good hard look at where you are financially. Begin working on a game plan. Take a good hard look at where you are. Be honest about it. Don't ignore it. Like, explore it. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. And so Colby definitely is like the champion of honest conversations. I don't think I've ever had a non-candid conversation with Colby. Like, it's everything is like, hey, boom, here's how it is. Here's what you need to pay attention to.
And imagine I sugarcoat everything.
Well, you need to get real sugar with what you're using, because what you're using is not coating it a whole lot. But honesty matters when it comes to this, because here's the thing. If you're depending on all of us, we've got rent to pay or a mortgage to pay. Like, we have bills, and we can't just ignore this and be like, well, God's going to show up. Like, yes, God will show up, but what we have to do is we have to follow the Nehemiah principle. Joey, you're the captain of the Nehemiah principle. Yeah. What is it?
Nehemiah is my spirit animal. So
I thought it was Eeyore.
No, Nehemiah, when he was told the enemy is coming, he said, we prayed to our God and we posted a guard. In other words, I done what physically I needed to do to prepare without ignoring the spiritual. So he didn't just go all spiritual and ignore the physical. He combined the two. And I think that's where we miss a lot of things. We lean one way or the other, and it's not either or, it's and both.
Yes, I love that. And so for those of you that are curious, that's Nehemiah 4:9. We prayed to our God, and we posted a watch. And so, yeah, prayer. Let's start by praying. So, God, we pray right now for all the small church leaders that are struggling financially, that you would help them, provide for them, and help all of us to have a game plan. That's the Nehemiah principle. So, yeah, pray first. Colby brought it up in this have an honest conversation comment that he made. Involve your spouse, and don't just put it all on what she has to sacrifice or what he has to sacrifice, but rather, when you have this honest conversation, you're going to go across the board and see where can we trim the fat? What is it that we need to be doing?
And I'm not a huge advocate of Dave Ramsey, but he always had a thing where he would say, you're a grown up. It is y'all's financial plan. It's not hers to do because you're working and she's at home all day with the kids. She's working a lot harder than you are. But it is together as one, as a married couple. You have to talk about it together. It's not just a, hey, our finances are getting cut at the church, so my income's going to get cut. You need to figure out what our budget's going to be. You have to do it together. You are a team in this. And so not just pushing it off on your spouse to just take care of it and tell me what I got to do. You're a grown up. You can be part of that conversation.
Absolutely. And Colby, I would add this. Conversations, plural.
Yeah.
One of the downfalls with personalities like mine is I want to have one conversation be done with it. But that's not how this works out. That's not how, like, and this is something we learned when we all did 75 hard. Joey went ahead. He was like John the Baptist, the forerunner. He went first with 75 hard, and we came after that. It was 75 days. It was in a row. It was consecutive. And over that time, God really kind of just reinforced in my mind that discipline's greater than motivation. Discipline is what gets you out there whenever it's raining or snowing or whatever. It's not motivation. We're not very motivated to do that. And when we're talking about explore it, don't ignore it in your finances, you're going to have to, we all of us are going to have discipline when it comes to this because, like, let's just face reality of where we are. Gas prices are going up, like the economy, everything is starting to cost more than it was. And the one thing that's not going up is our salary, right? And so we have to have these honest conversations, plural, where we're talking about, hey, for the long run, here are the steps that we're trying to make so that I don't rob tomorrow by what I'm trying to do today. So have those honest conversations.
And sometimes being spiritual about it is going to God and not just praying for your ship to come in. I've heard one person, another said and made me mad when he said it was some people are waiting for their ship to come in and never sent one out.
Okay, so now I'm leaving.
Yeah. So being spiritual about it is praying and asking God, what is the physical plan that I need to do? Guide me, direct me on what I need to cut, what I need to keep, what I need to do, what I need to do in the physical. So sometimes the spiritual act is seeking God on what to do, not just for him to come in and do something supernatural.
Yeah, that's so good, man. Well, I mean, even if you really stop and roll back the curtain, everything we do spiritual happens naturally. Prayer is naturally opening your mouth and talking to a supernatural God. That's what prayer is, right? Like reading the Bible is naturally reading from left to right. If you're reading in most translations or not the original Hebrew, that's a natural act that yields supernatural results. And like, man, just the reality of this is like, we've got to have these honest conversations that lead to next steps that we can actually do. Now, I do want to bring this in for the church side of this is you need to involve your financial team. Now, maybe that's a board of deacons or elders or staff, whatever it is in your church, you need to involve them in this conversation. Now, it may be difficult. It may get a little hairy, but stick it out. This is something that I'm literally real time going through right now. Our finances are not where they need to be at our church. And so I've involved our team with this and we're talking through what we need to do next steps. And one of our big next steps is my wife and I, like, we're taking a big pay cut. Now we're starting with this pay cut and going, okay, God, you've got to provide here, but because I'm taking this pay cut, here's part of probably how you're going to provide, is I may need to get a part-time job or maybe a full-time job. And so it's not like, well, God, it's not the either or, like you're saying, either we're going to pray or either we're going to, you know, wait for our ship to come in or do, it's both and. And so involve your financial team. Now, maybe you're out there and you're going, well, my financial team is involved. They're the one told me I can't make any more money. We get it. Okay. Like that's just a reality of a small church leader and where you're at. Here's some things that I would offer, and guys, I'd love to get your feedback or pushback on some of this. If you're locked in a scenario where your financial team doesn't want to help you and the church, there's probably a deeper issue there. We've all heard horror stories of churches that are like just keeping the pastor under their thumb. I know you said tongue in cheek, Joey, that God, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. That's not healthy. That's a toxic environment. And maybe you need to lead through that toxic environment, or maybe you need to leave that toxic environment. I don't know. God knows, and I'm not trying to tell anybody to quit their churches or resign from their ministries. What we care about is the health of those ministries. And if they are like Pharaoh, man, if they're trying to have you make the same amount of bricks, but they're taking your straw away and you can't have that conversation with them, that's probably a flashing light on your dashboard that something needs to be dealt with. What do you guys think?
No, I absolutely agree. I think that there is a deeper issue on that, and sometimes you just got to walk away.
Yeah.
That's not the fun conversation to have, but honestly, talking about your decreasing pay is never going to be a fun
conversation. Yeah.
But you got to understand, as we go back to what we talked about last week on how the ministry can have the effect on the family, when you start dealing with the finances, now this is having even more effect on the family. Not just the fact that we had, and I don't really, ministry was hard before COVID, and it just got a little bit harder on us. Which put more stress on pastors and staff and churches, and that kind of floods into the family. But then you start saying, well, now that you are working harder to try to rebuild, we have to reduce your pay because we don't have any income. Now it's just gotten even more difficult, and sometimes it's going to be like, hey, you got to take care of your family first. And if the church can't pay you, you've got to go do something that they that gets you that money to pay those bills, because you being homeless isn't an answer, and it's not a homeless ministry to start. You've got to take care of your family. So I'm with you on that. Sometimes you're just going to have to say, hey, listen, you guys can't pay me. Knock me down to part-time, give me a certain amount per week, and I'm going to go work somewhere else.
Yeah, and let me say this, two things here. If you have to go and become bivocational, that's not a fail on your part.
Not at all.
That doesn't mean you're a failure. That's the reality of small church ministry. That's just what it looks like. And I personally think, and I don't have a Bible verse that I can fully back it up, I think I can twist it a little bit to get there, but I personally think that those bivocational folks and those that are serving their churches that are no vocational, that they don't have any money coming from the church, y'all are going to live in the country club in heaven. Now, you'll live next to our wives because we are their crosses to bear in this life. But, man, you're not a failure if you have to go and get another job or another source of income. That doesn't mean you're not good at ministry. Like, it just that's what the devil will tell you. That's what your flesh and your insecurities will tell you. That's just how it happens and what goes on with life. Now, I don't know if you guys heard that loud sound or not, but the door just opened, and I'm wondering if that's God coming in or God leaving. I hope we didn't have an Ichabod moment there. But, yeah, like that doesn't make you a failure. So that's the one thing to do. And then the second thing that I wanted to mention in with that is this. Just because you're going part-time doesn't mean that you don't love the church any less. And I will give you a word of caution. You now, as a bivocational pastor, your time is going to be stretched. So whenever you make that call that I'm going to have to get a part-time job, that means you're going to also have to turn your church pastoral ministry role into a part-time job as well. You might not be able to make every meeting. You might not be able to make every event. You might not be able to dedicate every baby or do every wedding, because now you're renegotiating your role. And with every role that's renegotiated, so come the responsibilities that are renegotiated as well.
Yeah, that's not taking on two full-time jobs, then all of a sudden taking on the full-time job of working and then the full-time job of pastoring and neglecting your family. Make sure you got all three lined up and in their proper place. And and this will create feelings in us. Lord, I'm working so hard. I feel like I'm giving everything I can to give to this. And so why aren't you taking care of me? We all have those feelings from time to time. Understand that.
And take them to God.
Take them to God.
I love that you phrase that in a prayer. Yeah, take them to God. We have those feelings. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. That was me saying amen. That's the preacher way to say amen. We talk a whole lot, right? I was sharing with somebody just this morning, man. I have the older brother syndrome. You remember the prodigal son story? There were two prodigal sons there, and I'm the older one who I'm like, I've been doing all of this for you, and you haven't done anything for me. Like, those are real emotions and feelings you're going to have. Like, if I can be perfectly honest with you, as I'm going through this personal salary cut right now and just trying to figure out what next steps look like for me personally, in my mind, I'm telling, and not just my mind, but like my heart, everything, and my vocalization in my prayers, I'm going, God, I know personally the sin in the life of this church leader, yet their church is growing. This is not hearsay. This is not something that's gossip. I literally know this person personally and know the sin in their life, but their church is growing. Why is it happening to me and not them? And like, maybe that's just us being too real on the Small Church Leadership Podcast, but that's how we feel sometimes. Like, what about this and what about that? Guys, you know, like, we can't live our ministry and base our emotional and mental security on what ifs, right? Because there's always going to be a what if. There's always going to be a what if. And I love the what if that's on your board, Colby. It's a different kind of what if.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the what if it happens.
Yeah.
What if God shows up? What if God somehow can bless this move away from full-time payment to part-time payment? What if something good happens and not something bad?
And we always go to the negative of what if, but let's shift this, because, you know, and it's, we've talked about soundtracks forever. It's changing that soundtrack. What if God does something great through your switch to bivocational? What if he uses that second job that you have to reach some people that you never were able to reach before? What if God does something great through this? And if we look at it that way, then it'll change the perspective of, yeah, I'm not a failure. You're not a failure. I don't think we can say that enough. If you have to switch to bivocational, if you have to switch to part-time or whatever, you are not a failure in that. But what if God does something amazing through that? And it's just that season that you've got to go through.
Absolutely.
And I would like to say, I don't think it's a sin to have these thoughts. Yes. These thoughts are natural. It's not you sinning having these thoughts. I think where it becomes sin is when we keep them and we don't take them to God and we allow them to become bitterness that then leads us into not acting like we need to be acting as Christians. So I don't think it's a sin to have them, but you need to deal with them when you have them. You need to take them to God. You need to search them out.
So just like we've been saying, Joey didn't even realize he was doing it, I don't think. Explore, don't ignore. Right, you got that tension inside of you, those feelings, explore it. Why am I feeling this way? Because here's what I know about me. Whenever I start feeling that way, it's older brother syndrome kicking in. And you know what else that is? If we ask why, how many times we got to ask why, Joey?
5 times.
If I keep asking, well, why do I feel like an older brother? Well, I feel like I've worked harder than they have. I feel like I deserve it. I feel like I've paid my dues and they haven't. I feel like my ministry is better than theirs is. I feel like I am more worthy than they are. I feel like when people aren't showing up to my ministry, then that means I'm not a good person. And when we just keep asking why and keep digging down to those layers, we'll be able to get to the bottom of what it is. And the same is true when we look at our finances. Keep asking, why are we down? Why is it that this is happening? And then what do we need to do? How do we need to do it? Are we willing to pay the price as we do that? So it's good stuff.
Yeah, and another one I'd add in there with you is, I've earned this, Lord. I feel like I've worked hard enough to earn you to do this for me.
Yeah, and here's another thing that I've thought it, and many leaders think it, but they don't vocalize it. I have been more successful in the past than I am currently. We're coming up on Easter. Easter is, for us at the time of this recording, 2 weeks away. And hopefully, our Easter numbers, if we've worked the wave right, will be close to our regular numbers that we had before COVID. However, as Easter, Facebook, social media keeps popping these memories up, I saw just recently a memory of my greatest Easter where we had, man, close to 300 people in the building at multiple services. And at that point in my life, I literally was planning on, by this time next year, we're going to have 5 services. We're going to reach 1,000 people for Easter. I'm going to be the next big thing. People are going to be asking me, how did you do it? I'm going to be the...
Yeah. You're going to be the main speaker at Exponential.
The main speaker at Exponential. That's right. What was that? Is that what I think the Bible would label that as pride, mm-hmm. selfish ambition, as me being haughty, right? When God's called me to be humble. Like, and so I'm sitting here going, well, man, you know, a few years ago, I was about ready to go and create my own Exponential conference, and now I'm taking a pay cut. What in the world is happening here? I must be a failure. I must be doing something wrong. I thought I deserved it, God. That's just the reality of ministry. That's the reality of ministry, guys. Is that look at the average church size in America. What is it, like 67 people? Let's just sit back. That's the average church size in America. That means that for the majority of most of us, we are going to be pastoring in small churches the rest of our lives. We got to be okay with that. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to try to reach more people. That's one of the reasons that this podcast exists, to help people learn some tips to reach more people. But if you can't be comfortable with 30, you certainly ain't going to be comfortable with 3,000. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to receive an offering right now. So let's talk about these two things as we get ready here to close our time out. There are two things that we've got to deal with. We've got to deal with what we should do right now when we're having financial stress, and then what we should do for our retirement, because hopefully one day you've got a plan to retire. Now, I know those of you that are going, retirement's not biblical. Like, you're going to keep serving Jesus. Nobody said you don't do ministry. But maybe you can do ministry while you're sitting on an island somewhere and enjoying some of your grandkids and great-grandkids and not running from somebody else's church issue to somebody else's church issue. Retirement matters. Ask your spouse. He or she would probably be like, yep, I would love for us to retire at some point too. So right now, what are some things we should do if we're dealing with financial stress?
We need to trim the fat and renegotiate the salary. We've got to have those conversations, but look where we can make some cuts. We're doing that as a church. My wife and I are doing that as a family. We're always looking to see, I know where I can make some cuts. I need to kick my son out of the shower quicker, taking that 45 minute shower. My water bill goes up. It's like, dude, you're killing me. You got to look where you can trim the fat. Again, do you really need Amazon showing up every day?
Yeah.
Do you really need some of the streaming packages? I mean, you may pay for 5 or 6 of them, but you only have time to watch TV maybe an hour a day. Do you really need all of those?
And if you were in the Word of God, this wouldn't be happening. I'm just teasing. I don't believe that.
But it's where can you make cuts? Can you drop it down from the 5,000 channels down to the 70 channels? Can you cut your cell phone bill down some? You just got to figure out where can you trim the fat? Where can you cut some of the things that are really, they're just niceties. You don't really got to have them, but we're a spoiled generation. We like to have everything. And so we just got to look at what do we got to have right now.
Yeah, right now, keyword. Yeah. Right now, keywords. Because this is temporary. This is temporary and doesn't have to last forever.
Be militant about living on a budget. Now, I hate that word budget. I'm the spender. My wife's the saver in the relationship. Usually you have one or the other. There's a tension that is there. And here's what I got. Here's what I learned church-wise and home-wise. I've got to let the budgeter do the budgeting and be okay with it and not get mad at them because they're limiting me if I want to live in this.
So let's make it a little softer for you, Joey. You don't have to be a militant about living on a budget. You have to be militant about living on a financial plan.
Oh, a financial plan. See,
does that make you feel better?
No.
Okay.
I remember several podcast episodes ago, way back when we were wee bitty podcasters, that Joey said he doesn't have he doesn't have a
discipleship
plan. He has a spiritual growth plan. So he just brought that back to you.
That's when we were on one mic.
That's right. Yeah. We were like the backup singers for Johnny Cash or something. Yeah.
Passing the mic around.
You gotta live on a budget, and you gotta be, we put that word militant in there intentionally because again, this is a place where discipleship's greater than motivation. man, I went through, the reason that I met Colby is I went through Financial Peace University. He was hosting it here at this church, and that started a big friendship for
me. That's probably why I hate that whole program now. I'm kidding. It's a good program. It is. It's just I just struggle with some of his philosophies. Yeah. But yeah, it was.
We got to be militant about living on a budget.
And if I can say this personally, this is personally what I've done. I put stuff on a credit card, trusting God to make the credit card payment.
Okay.
And if I can't trust Him to help me purchase it straight out, then why am I helping? Why is it more faith to allow him? It's not. It's less faith. I'm just getting what I want and go, okay, God, now pay for it.
Yeah. Your will, your bill. Yeah. It's kind of like this. I think about this old story of the two brick masons in the Middle Ages, and they were building a Gothic cathedral, and someone asked one of them, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just putting bricks together. And they asked the other one, and he said, I'm building a cathedral that will stretch to the heavens, and thousands of people will come through here and hear the gospel and experience God. Well, they were both doing the same thing, but they had different perspective of it. And I think oftentimes what happens is we don't have the faith on the front end of it where, man, I'm going to put – what would the credit card payment be, right? If I buy this thing, the credit card payment on it would be $70 a month. Okay. Well, I'm putting $70 a month up now on the front end, and I'm going to pay me before I pay them. And I'm building a cathedral. I'm building a this. I'm going towards that. Like faith, I think personally, faith on the front end is bigger than faith on the back end. Mm-hmm. Faith on the back end says, "Oh, we've got to fix it." Faith on the front end says, "Here's what I'm doing, trusting God to do it." Yeah. That's a big difference there. And here's the thing, Joey, you mentioned this before. Sometimes we do that with ministry decisions too.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Like, hey, okay, our church needs a new projector. Well, do you really need a new projector? Or do you want a new projector? And if you need the new projector, then cast that vision with the whole church and not just with your credit card, because you feel like if I get a new projector in, I did this with our church. We upgraded our lights and all that because I thought if we had a cool stage and we didn't have a dress code, people would come in. And you know what happened? Some people did come in. And there are some people that are like, yeah, this is how we reach people. You know, everybody that's told me that has been a Christian already. I have never had a non-Christian come to me and say, man, it was the lights that did it for me. I've never had a non-Christian, but I've had Christians tell me the only way to reach non-Christians is to do it this way.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Man, that's a whole new episode.
That's a whole other episode right there. Here's the thing we want to tell you. Don't go broker doing ministry.
Yeah.
You're already broke, so don't spend any more money than you need to doing ministry. And then the last thing for retirement, none of us really know what we're doing. So we would tell you, don't be the retirement expert. I'm going to tell you something that people have probably told you your entire life. Get professional help. Yep. No, this is in the retirement context, but maybe whatever other context. Get professional help.
Yeah, and just start something. It doesn't have to be a lot. I mean, if you're trimming the fat, start something. Get something going. $50 a month if you can do that. $25 a month if you can do that. I mean, you've got to start something because retirement will be there before you know it.
Facts.
Time just flies by.
Yeah. I keep bringing up 75 hard, but I noticed this on day 74 of 75 hard because God didn't kill me. I lived 75 four days and I realized, well, if I hadn't done 75 hard, I would still have made it to this day, but I wouldn't have made the progress.
Yeah.
And that's how retirement is. Like until God calls us home, we're going to live another day. So we might as well live on purpose. We might as well happen to things and not let things happen to us. And so do something now. Start small. You got this. Hey, we all know small is a good way to go. Start small and get help. Maybe you need to go to Google and go retirement planner in my area and schedule a meeting with them. And just lay it all out on the line and let them help you.
Look at their reviews.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Look at the reviews. Yeah.
Listen, don't just find somebody and go with a one-star
like
person.
In Kentucky, what's the airport? Bubba's Car Care, Tire Care, and Airport and Financial Planning. Probably don't stick away from that person. Yeah. So, and also we have some additional resources. We're going to hit these real quick. You can go to everence.com, everence.com. And Kobe, you have anything to say about that one?
Yeah, they, so our denomination did some work with them, for a couple years. They have some financial planning courses that you can go through. You can learn how to do the budget and stuff like that. They were doing, some matches. So if your church gave the pastor money to go towards, some sort of debt, student loan or something like that, then they would match it up to a certain amount. I don't know if they're still doing that, but they do have financial resources out there available.
Okay. And another one that you can check out is NAE.org. NAE.org, that stands for National Association of Evangelicals. If you are in a denomination that is connected to the NAE.org, they have some programs that can help you financially. Now, there's probably some hoops and stuff you got to jump through because how many of you know that money doesn't just grow on trees, right? But that's a resource you can go to. And these are kind of help you resources. Here's a resource that will help you. And because one of them is a bailout. Another one is a life change, a budget bailout. And that could be going to something like Dave Ramsey with Financial Peace University. That could be doing something like iwasbrokenowimnot.com. iwasbrokenowimnot.com. Because these resources will help us to learn to deal with our budget. Okay. And so because here's the thing. Money is going to be part of your ministry and part of your life the rest of your life. And so if we keep depending on bailouts, we used to say, gripe about this way back in the bailout generation, right, when the banks were bailing out all, or the government was bailing out all these banks and all this stuff. Well, we don't need to bail them out, but we want to bail out, right? So sometimes you need a bailout, but you need a budget. If you can learn to budget, you won't need a bailout. And so what you need to do is explore it. Don't ignore it. And that's all we've got. Now, it might be good. I want you to know this podcast is free, and so is what, that's what the advice is worth in many cases, right? What we care about is that you don't let these ministry stress points destroy you.
Yes.
You are greater than your financial issue that you're going through right now. You are greater than the issue your church is facing right now. You are greater than the sin you're struggling with right now. You know why? You were made in the image of God, and He has a powerful call on your life. And if you're still breathing, He ain't done with you. Come on, somebody. And with that being said, we're glad that you've listened to us today. Joey, why don't you share something special with the crowd today?
If you, we would like to connect up with you further, and you can do that by going to our Facebook page. And if you'll go to the Facebook and go to the search bar, Small Church Leadership, you can find us there, and you can connect up with us, and we want to connect up with you.
Go out there and give us a review. The more reviews, the more 5 stars we get, the more this word will get out. It'll help some people out there. Share this podcast with your friends. We're guys that have gone through this with you. We're going through it with you, and we just want to give some hope to those pastors out there that are maybe struggling with the finances, personal finances, church finances right now. We just want to give them hope and let them know that they're not alone. Probably every church on their street is going through the same thing. They may be hiding it, but we'll tell you right now, from the three of us, you're definitely not in this by yourself.
Absolutely. And so we, man, really want you to know that you're not alone. We would love for you to connect with us. We'd love for you to help us get the word out to some pastor or leader that may be struggling with some of these things. And when we come back together for our next episode, we are going to be talking about, what are we going to be talking about, guys? We're going to be talking about mental and emotional stress points. That's one of the things where it's easy for us to get way too overlapped on one side and just ignore that there are mental issues and emotional issues in church. Guys, we can't ignore it. We don't want to ignore it. We want to do what?
Explore it.
And so in our next episode, we're going to be talking about that. We look forward to hanging out with you. So until then, I'm Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we have been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and helpfully, hopefully, helping the small church fulfill the big mission. We'll see you next time, guys. Bye now.